You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Screw on the chemical floors of the dance world. Now you see why I'll always be a dancer. The transcendental brats to the trance world, but there's escapes on the face of a girl.
Hey, yo, thank you to our sponsors. Big shout out and thank you to Run for Cover Records.
Yes, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I like this one. Big shout out and thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
Tails.
Big shout out and thank you to Convulse Records.
Shadow.
Oh, you went deep cut. And obviously, big shout out and thank you to Live a Lie.
The big boss, Robotnik.
Robotnik, you did not go Shadow. Did you do Shadow? Shadow. You did Shadow. You didn't do Knuckles.
No, I didn't do Pregnant Sonic either.
There's a couple other variant Sonics. What's the gold Sonic? Do you know about this? The super. It's not Super Sonic, but it's something like that.
That's Marcel.
That's French Sonic. Sonic variants. Let's start by going to Convulse Records, convulserecords.com. We're going to shout out their last few couple releases here. Alienator, World of Hate. This is a record we played a track off of. Let me just say, this is getting hot love as 7-inch of the year. We talked about it a little bit. To me, it reminds me of a little bit like Life's Blood.
I was trying to think of what it is, because it's like it's funny when we talk about hardcore that is just like bracing, aggressive hardcore. You're often left without real comparisons. You know what I mean? Because it becomes more difficult. But Life's Blood's a good one.
Yeah, and there's other stuff in there. Me and a friend of the show, Keith from Restraining Order, talked about this record a lot and how great it is. Just fucking awesome. If you have not gotten it yet, you need it. You need it. If you like Restraining Order, get the 7-inch. If you like fast, you know, abrasive hardcore punk, you need this record. I guarantee. If you like Gel, get it right now. You'll love this record. The Spine LP, their newest LP, I think it's some of their strongest material. And this is something I need to note. It is their third LP. That is awesome. In this space also, like, you just don't have bands who sound like this keep
doing multiple records. It's true.
That's right.
Also, I did not talk about this band, but after we did shows with them, they were on a couple of the dates on that Drain tour.
Yeah,
this is a good. This is a good band. This is a very good band. So, they might. It's funny because in that scene, of like straight up aggressive, like just kind of
fast,
over the top,
fast punk hardcore, power violence kind of stuff. Yep.
That stuff. It's kind of rough, man. Sometimes you got to be the new flavor for people to appreciate you because people want something to talk about. And if you're doing something just very well, it's possible, like, and you're doing it for a time, it's possible that people just stop talking about you for a little while. And I hope that we've come back around to people realizing, like, oh, yeah, this, we have to rehype this, you know, because it's fucking so good.
That's exactly right. And like, look, the front man, Antonio, is unbelievable. It just has like a great presence on stage for the sound. So got to get that. Additionally, the Destiny Bond LP, Be My Vengeance. I don't know if it's an LP or 12-inch technically. I think this is an LP. There's 10 songs. This is an LP. Really cool. Unique sense of melody on this LP. If you haven't listened to it, I hate evoking like, oh, you know how melodic meant a lot of different things in the 80s in terms of punk hardcore? It has that energy. It kind of comes at you in a different way. So if you have not ordered all three of these records, you need to go online, convulsrecords.com. Order them right now. We're going to go over to Live a Lie next, toliveali.com. Click that web store link and you're going to order. Again, I'm talking about a record I've already talked about, but I am bringing it up for a specific reason. The band is Violencia. Their LP, Viviendo Tiempos en Más Oscuros, on To Live a Lie, out now. You should order it. It is really good. Power Violence, Tijuana band. I think it is awesome. Look, Power Violence is by nature aggressive. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes these bands don't have urgency, despite the fact that the music is so overtly aggressive. You almost question, like, how could it not feel urgent? I am telling you, sometimes Power Violence feels flat. This does not.
Oh, God. Yo,
you know what I mean? Right?
When Power Violence just doesn't have it, it's the... So for people that are like, oh, Patrick hates fast music, somewhat true. But part of that is informed by having seen a lot in my life of the type of VFW Power Violence that is just... It's not dialed in. And there is a difference.
That's right.
There is a fucking difference. Like, to our dads, to people that are older, there is no difference.
That's
but
right.
Once you become familiar with a thing, you can tell a good one from a bad one. And the energy's got to be there.
And this is a good one. So please go on and order this. By the way, this band had $500, a lot of LPs shipped to them to take along with them on a tour. Porch snatched, gone.
No,
ripped
no.
off. Yep. The worst energy. So, please go out, support To Live a Lie, support Valencia, order this record, go catch them on a tour. I promise you will enjoy it. If you like fast music, toliveali.com, hit that web store, order that record, tell them we sent you. Thank you. Really quick. Are you familiar with Princess Amy Rose?
No.
Formerly known as Rosie the Rascal. That is the pink girl Sonic. Female Sonic,
oh, wow.
I should say.
Okay, yeah.
Who is Sonic's wife? Sonic's wife, Queen Sally Acorn. Okay. You obviously are familiar with canceled movie Sonic, the one that had more humanistic features. Yeah. Werehog Sonic from Sonic Unleashed.
Okay, hold on. You're familiar with pregnant Sonic.
I am, of course. How can you not be? Hypersonic I was thinking of. Hypersonic from Sonic 3.
Are you familiar with the pregnant Sonic song?
No.
I'm sending it to you now.
Please
it's,
do.
It's like one of those like late era. Well, this is Twist. I'll send it to you right now.
Okay, please do. Boom Sonic. Ooh, 1992 Manga Sonic.
Okay.
This looks like a deep cut. This might need to be on your bad manga reading list.
I'm in.
I also noticed you moved to the Reddit headquarters. Is that correct?
Am I in the Reddit headquarters?
Ooh, this is amazing. Did you not know that is your mailing address for the for your newsletter?
No, I did not know that.
For some time, your mailing address on there was an address for you upstate. And I always laughed because I'm like, does this fucking dude even know that this is listed on every one of these newsletters? And now it is the Reddit headquarters address. So good luck to you. I thought it was intentional. And the fact that it wasn't is even funnier now.
Everybody what Bob is referring to is that if you have an email newsletter in the United States, there's a law where you have to have a physical address attached to it. And apparently I'm living at the Reddit
HQ, which is good. All right. Pregnant Sonic song. Let's play it for the live reaction. Shout out to our sponsors. Pregnant Sonic.
Bob's about to experience something really, really special. Hold on. He's so the reveal on this is that it's a style of music that I don't understand or like, but I I recognize it immediately.
Wow. Wow. So is this like pseudo this is adjacent to adjacent, right?
Yeah, so what it's doing is late era scene music, which,
oh yeah. Yeah. This is late era scene.
Like, so where you had the auto tune and all that sort of shit. It's not just, so for people, I'm not terribly familiar, but there's scene music where you had the clean vocals. And then later you had clean vocals with auto tune, and much less screaming. The screaming was just accent parts, but you had this auto tune front voice that was just terrible. And that's what this is doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to all our sponsors. Most importantly, Sonic the Hedgehog. Pregnant Sonic, on with the show.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I am California Tom.
Oh, there he is. He's Ken.
I get it now.
He's the Ken. Oh, you get it. Oh, it all came together for Tom. He's only been to California 30 times.
Here's why. Last year, this same time of year, we were in LA. Yes. Tom, you're an OC. Are you an OC lifer?
You know what? Other than the politics, it's a pretty nice place to live.
It's top tier, man.
It's top really tier. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff, although I've realized everything closes early.
California.
It's crazy. Like, I got out of a show last night. I was like hungry. It was like 10:30. And it's like, well, the only thing open is Del Taco. I'm like, that's it.
Yo, honestly. So, oh my God. Go ahead.
I live in like, Tom, you know, when you're on tour in Europe and you're shocked at how early some things close. And then they tell you that there's some law in that country where you can't work more than 22 hours or something in a month. That's how my life is now. Everything is closed. I think I told you this. Everything's closed at like fucking 5.
It blows my mind. I'm so spoiled in New York.
Tom, but one of this is one of my, if I was in California right now, and this might, I don't know what you got going on late night tonight. This is my shout out to Taco Loco in Laguna Beach, which is a long time taco spot right on PCH in Laguna Beach. It is also one of the only places, I think it's open till 2 a.m. And they have a blackened mushroom tofu burger.
Mm.
It's one of my favorite things to eat, full stop, ever. They do it with this like avocado salsa thing. Unreal. Ooh. Fresh buns. The bread is so good. Oh my God. And they're closing for good, like next week. Yeah. Like next week. And like, I've gotten emotional. I got like I should go there again. I'm very sad about it. So if you do get a chance, check it out. If you don't, just whisper their name in the wind for me.
I will.
Thank you guys for joining us today. Let's talk some hardcore. We got a tight hour. Tom is on California time. Patrick's in Perth at the crack of dawn.
Yes, sure. Thanks, Patrick.
It's no worries. It's not light out yet. Just doing that relaxing. Like, my father has woken up at probably 5 for his entire life. Sometimes 4:30, and just thinks that that's cool. So I'm trying to get with it. I'm trying to become, look, not to get all heavy, but for our listeners that don't know, you fellas both lost your fathers at relatively young ages. Do you find yourself any resentments that you had for your dad while he was around, or any type of rejection of him that you might have had because you're a young man and that's part of your job? As older men, are you now thinking, It's not so bad. His life's not, it really is not so bad. Because I don't mind.
No, I get it. I was an old man. I get it.
Yeah. I, you know what? I felt lucky to not have any resentments towards my pops other than smoking while he would take a shit.
Yeah, it's bad.
Which, I mean, I think for a smoker, that's some sort of heavenly jam. Like, that's like, oh, what a pleasant experience, you know?
My fault, same thing.
Right. So, I mean, Pat, if your life changes dramatically and you're really looking for a intestinal utopia, maybe take up smoking cigarettes on the toilet.
Hot coffee, cigarette, and you will be regular for the rest of your life.
Yo, we haven't had a Frank Kinlan. We haven't had a Frank Kinlan update in a while. How's he doing? I was thinking of him today, actually.
Him and my mother go to the foot doctor together. They schedule their appointments so that they coincide. Mm. And
that's love.
He may or may not lose his foot. He's pretty sanguine about it. But it's a bummer. It's kind of like one of those threats that hasn't materialized yet. So I don't know if, you know, is he overstating it? I got to talk to my mother privately.
Yeah, just tell him shit or get off the can. Lose the foot or not. He's got a lifetime of pirate jokes, peg leg, Frank in front of him, or we can keep playing this charade. You know what I mean? What are we doing?
Yeah. There's also this thing where he's very pressuring to get me to go out and visit. And I was like, what's going on, Dad? I'll make it before you die. And he says, why is it always about me dying? And I said, I don't know, Dad, you're 81. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. It crossed my mind that it could happen. You know, I do like the idea of being so deluded that you just think you're going to live forever. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? Why would you talk about me dying?
Well, if you don't believe it, who else is gonna? So, speaking of living forever, I feel like Peter Pan is in Southern California this weekend. Tom is also visiting the Sunshine State, the Golden Bear State, the Great Golden State. I could keep going. So Sound and Fury is happening as we speak. We're recording this just behind the scenes. It is Sunday afternoon Eastern time, so it's probably just getting underway for the second day. Tom, you enjoyed the Indecision 30th anniversary weekend. That's correct?
I did. That's correct.
Awesome. Major shout out to everybody at both events. Looked awesome. You can give some firsthand on Indecision, so psyched for that. We'll do some Sound and Fury talk once everybody's home and chatting. But shout out, positive feedback seems like very high energy. And I want to say this goes to all the festival promoters out there, and not just festival, but large shows. You don't know the hoops that they are jumping through up to and during the show to ensure that it continues on.
Right. That you don't know. They will never see.
Whisper their names into the wind with a thank you if you had a nice time at a festival in your life. Tom, tell us about Indecision Fest.
It was great. It was in an amphitheater in Garden Grove.
Mm.
So it had seats. So I'm all for it. It was run incredibly well. Dave Ito and Dave Mandel did a lot of the planning and the work.
Shout out.
All the bands were fucking great. They had like yesterday. So there was, I forget how many bands played, maybe 12. It started at 5:15 and it was over by 10:15. So like it was big stage, like the main stage. And then there was a thing called the locker room, which is also a big, like a decent sized room that they would go back and forth. So like, as soon as one band ended, the other band would start in the other stage.
Awesome. That's a way. So there's not overlap. No one misses a band if they want to see the whole thing.
Yeah. I got to see a ton of people, a ton of friends, ton of listeners. It was funny. A few people had come up to me and said that I had mentioned I was coming to California, but I didn't say where.
Right.
Because I didn't want to spoil my reputation as only supporting younger hardcore bands. And I love Sound and Fury and I love all the bands playing, but like I love Undertow and they're never going to be in New York again.
Mm.
So I had to kind of take advantage of that.
Yeah, Their set looked lit. Like that's the thing I watched. Just a little few clips online, and I was like, that looked cool.
It was great. They got a big reaction. Unbroken was amazing. I saw The Promise. They were great. Throwdown was like a war zone. Pat would have loved Throwdown. They came out dressed in full army fatigues.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of bearded 40-year-olds really get excited.
I mean, it was they were like the singer was like, I heard emo's making a comeback. This is a war, and we're here to fight or something. And they all came out dressed in like, I mean, funny, like they were making like taking a piss. Got a like huge reaction. Unbroken was awesome. Undertow was great. Suicide File was amazing. We saw our buddy Dave.
Shout out to Mr. Weinberg. Very cool.
Got to come on, man. And he was like, I'll come on and talk about anything. I was like,
yeah, no, he actually had some good insights on the Ink and Dagger thing that we'll cite again at a future time that I liked. So,
but yeah. I would like that. And Over My Dead Body was awesome.
Guys, really?
It was just such a fun time. It was really awesome. It was like a fest, but it was older, but it didn't feel dusty at all.
Yeah. So you giving that list of bands, I was kind of hating on this. I'm going to be honest with you. Indecision Records has some real hits.
True bangers.
True bangers. I got nothing bad to say about the label or the bands. I just, you know, choosing to go, and I understand in many respects it was a forced choice, but choosing to go up against Sound of Fury in close proximity, I was like, yo, I hate these fests. I fucking hate these fests that just can't organize around the idea that, hey, there's multiple weekends in a year. You know what I mean? And I get pretty mad at this. But say it again.
Their hand was very, very for, like, given that I would have never.
Yeah.
Booked out of Fury. And I mean, it sold out.
I know. And it looked good. It looked good. But I just.
Yeah. Somehow there was, you know, it's the same thing that happened last year with Lie Detector Fest was the same weekend as Sound of Fury, you know, like, fortunately, I guess Southern California is a populated enough place and draws enough visitors that it can support two national level festivals on the same weekend. That's kind of wild.
I'm curious, and Bob will have to get us the stats when he talks to his friends. I wonder if today at Sound and Fury will be even bigger than yesterday, only because so many people that I spoke to at Indecision Fest were going to Sunday of Sound and Fury. Because everyone was like, well, I'm going to go now because it's, you know, TUI is big draw. Speak, like, I can't tell you. I mean, half the crowd that I spoke to were like, yeah, that's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm going to see all the bands at Sound and Fury.
This is what I'll tell you. Sound and Fury this year, more people than last year.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So maybe it's because I didn't play, but at a glance, I did not think that the lineup was as strong as last year's. So I am very happy to hear that I'm just washed. You know, I'm happy to hear that that Sound and Fury did bigger numbers this year. That's cool. Tom, say that again. You're on the hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I said you don't show up, and like 1,000 more people. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not there.
So, all I have, you guys have probably been getting updates to your low phones as well. I've got my informants at the festival, and now I'm watching footage. So here's Twitching Tongues, which have had the most interesting hardcore careers, right? Because they were a band that was borderline merch band in the respect that it was just really a license to print excitement. You know what I mean? I'm not checking their bank accounts, but it was just a license to print excitement. Like people were Twitching Tongues, it was divisive because they had a sound that some people didn't understand. They had the wind at their back for a while, and then people just turned on them, right? This is my memory of the thing. And I think it coincides with the band members' memory.
So I think we can speak plain on it in 2023.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it plain. Everything you said is right. Truly had a sound that was like its own thing, even from jump. Definitely people who loved them. Some people who never understood it didn't get it. I'll put a quick pin in here and let you keep going. A band whose sound was not for me and I never really cared for it, but who I remember seeing in like 2012 at This Is Hardcore or something, and live they were undeniable. They were very good, and I remember telling them that. I was like, hey, your sound's not really for me, but you were awesome. And they were like, oh. And I was like, yeah, you know, like I don't even like the bands that you kind of are trying to do. And they're like, oh, what do you think we're trying to do? I'm like, Only Living Witness, Life of Agony, Marauder? And they're like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah.
And I think Tom and I have gone for individual rides with this band, where we liked some records better than others. But here's what came back to me. So a little bit more information on the band for people that don't give a shit. Really had a lot of momentum. And then kind of the tide turned on them at the same time that they put out a record that just didn't have it. And for people that don't understand, it doesn't require a bad record or in this case, maybe just not a record that hit the same way for people to turn on you. People just turn on you. That's just a fucking thing, right? It's a phenomenon.
We've talked about the idea that people occasionally look for the thing to turn on you on, right?
Yes.
Like waiting for the moment, like, oh, you did this, time to turn. You did this, time to turn. Well,
yep.
Twitching Tongues, signs to Metal Blade, big label, had been around for 5-6-ish years, had their ultimate records already released, felt like people were ready to turn. The record they do on Metal Blade, as you said, kindly, didn't hit people the same way some of the other stuff does. I don't even know. I mean, you guys would know better than me. I don't want to front like that. Was it a departure from sound? Was it a slight change? Was it an evolution? I would you, either of you say that about that record on Metal Blade?
I mean, I don't know how to say it. I mean, Pat, is this correct to think like they tried to do too much?
Yeah. So this is actually, I don't think Taylor's going to mind me quoting him on this.
They did just have 5,000 people going crazy outside.
Right. So yeah. Yeah. They got to feel good about this. Yeah. So I've talked to the brothers in the band about their impression on putting out a record. Cause they're thoughtful people. And I think that talking to thoughtful people about changes is one of the most interesting things. This is very delicate conversation, but when somebody goes bald or loses or gains or loses a lot of weight, if they're able to talk about it, I like to talk to them about it because it's just like, you know, that's a change in your life and that you're witnessing in real time. How are you processing it? I think that that's whatever. I just have a fetish for talking about people at their low points, but these fellas, I think they have very different impressions. Taylor, to him, this was an ultimate record. When you say, was it doing too much, Tom, that's a good observation because Taylor's attitude on it was, I did everything musically that I wanted to do on that record. Now, here's the thing. That doesn't mean it's going to work as songs, right? And maybe it didn't. But to finish out their history a little bit, people turn on them. Then they put out a record that I actually quite like after that.
Yep.
It is completely underrated by that point, right? Because people just kind of had it off their radars, and they still had their fans. Don't let me paint it like
they weren't,
and everybody hated them. Yes, not pariahs. So, yeah. They went quiet for a while, and the reports that I'm watching video of it right now as I speak to you guys. The reports that I got back coincide with the video I'm watching, which is just that Bob, to your point, this is a pro band. You know what I mean? This is not the same thing. Like, let me put it in the way that I'm not going to reveal my haters to you, but I've been getting a lot of hater texts from guys who are still involved in hardcore, but don't know why. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like
the best, I'm at the best, sound, the best,
I'm
the best.
At Sound of Fury, and I'm hating everybody and everything. But let's see. He or she or they said that they are a converted Twitching Tongues fan. It's WWE music, but they do it so well, and they sounded significantly better than every other band, which won this person over. The fact that they just sounded so goddamn thick made this person convert on the spot.
So Taylor, who's a monster.
Yes.
And Martin from fucking Hatebreed.
Yeah. It's no slouches here.
No. And I just think they put a lot of time and work in sounding bigger than all.
And they don't have it.
No. And they still have incredible energy on stage. Like, I want to say this, and I mean this with full respect to Nails, is that's one of the most impressive parts about Nails was their records, blistering, intense, corrosive, just ugly as all hell. And if you're looking for that, they give it to you on recording. Live, it was like a wall of everything that's on the recording coming out. Twitching Tongues is not the same sonically as Nails, but they have that same impact in a live way. And like, major credit to Colin for being a really, really magnetic frontman for him, for what he's doing. He's good. You know what? It's funny is that I wonder about it when the turn, we should talk about the turn on things again. We kind of had a conversation about this a year or two ago. About when people would turn on bands. I think we maybe talked about American Nightmare, this or that. But with Twitching Tongues, when that turn happened, it was in the midst of them doing what they were doing, and all of a sudden, I think some of the more theatrical or charismatic energy that Colin would bring in the live setting was being held against him, which is interesting. Interesting post in the past tense. It's interesting. And, you know, I wonder about that moving forward, because it's the kind of thing where I want to go, okay, maybe there's a line too far. Maybe. I don't know. But in 2023, I feel like that shit plays. I feel like that kind of energy, being charismatic, just going for it. Like, he was wearing studded X gloves and a studded Twitching Tongues jacket or shirt or something.
Yeah.
So credit to him. I want to ask him about his haircut, but otherwise, like, that's a man who I think has excellent hair, better than my hair ever. But I think he did a weird thing with his hair, so we got to talk about that. Definitely otherwise, but I think he's a great looking guy. So I just want to make sure his hair is staying up to point. You know what I mean?
Okay. He can wear a sleeveless shirt like nobody else I know.
That's true.
You know, I saw a friend of the pod last night, Jeremy Bohm.
Oh, shout out.
What a lovely human being.
He's one of the best.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievably kind. Like, he's so kind. He was great. Can I make a show announcement?
Go. Oh, yeah, please.
So this is coming up Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, most likely.
Should be.
In Philadelphia, this weekend is This Is Hardcore. We all know it's going to be wild. You got Bane, you got Prayer for Cleansing, you got, you know, our buddies in Silent Majority and Gorilla Biscuits and Integrity. But also in Philadelphia at the end of October, October 28th to be exact, at the First Unitarian Church in good old Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Scarab, Spiritual Cramp, Magnitude. Indecision, Blacklisted, and Unbroken at the church. So the show, so there's two nights. The 27th is Entry, Crashing Forward, Unbroken, Blacklisted headlining. So that goes on sale first. So that should be so. As soon as that gets sold out, they're going to announce the second show, which is our show. Mm. So it's October 27th, October 28th at the church in Philly. So by the time you hear this, tickets probably go on sale at noon today, Tuesday. First. So, yeah. Indecision, Unbroken, Black Hosted, Magnitude, Spiritual Cramp, and Scarab in Philadelphia. It's the first time I played Philadelphia since like 2002. So it should be fun.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Shout out. Very that's cool. Here.
Like, you like every band on that show.
Yeah. 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 To me, that's a wish I was there, would travel.
Maybe you come out and go see me and your boy George.
I mean, listen, everybody knows this. As the years go by, I've gone from Blacklisted fan to Blacklisted super fan.
Yeah.
So, and Unbroken, you know, I'm the hater. And when I say I'm the hater, it just means that I just have a strong preference for the 7-inch material. That's it. That's the only thing that makes me a hater. But
the four songs from the 2 7-inches, like the Circus 77 and the one before that, they did all four, which was pretty awesome last night.
That is awesome. And so I would watch that. Spiritual Cramp is really good live. Scarab, I've only seen the videos. Obviously, going to be a growing and ongoing concern in Philadelphia for sure.
Shout out to Scarab. Shout out to Tyler Mullen. That's cool.
Big voice.
Everything. Magnitude. Listen, I should give a shout out to Magnitude.
Patrick's favorite Insight fans.
That's fucking crazy. Well, hold on. Here's the thing that I'll be totally honest about. Prior to going on tour with them, I don't want to say I didn't know why they were on the tour. I know they've got fans, and Tom has confirmed that they deliver live and that they 100% get the reaction. But I thought for the tour that we're going out on with them, that was Drain, Drug Church, Magnitude, Gel, Combust was in there, Gum was in there, MS Paint. It was a really, really great tour. But I didn't have the vision for Magnitude. I didn't understand their role on the tour. Yeah, where they fit. I just didn't. I didn't get it. But having spent a month with them on the road, firstly, you know, they don't just have their fans. You know, they've got their devotees. They've got people who understand rightly that there's nobody doing that sound better. You know what I mean? No. So they've got genuine fucking fans, and then they deliver. Now, they deliver in a very, and you could say this is good or this is bad. They deliver in a very, what would you say, era. It's not just their sound. They also, the live show very much reminds me of my time in the 90s. You know what I mean? So maybe somebody that's into like the latest in, you know, I guess the latest in metalcore would not. Maybe wouldn't feel it, but it is quite good. And this is all leading up to the fact that I've listened to the record that, to my knowledge, hasn't come out yet. And I think it's
been announced yet. I think they just kind of hinted at it, but it's okay. No, you can break news. I think it's all right.
All right. Well, they've got a record coming, and I was very impressed. It's heavy as shit. So,
so I want to say this because I can be the person who says this and it comes off the way it should. You said it very well and succinctly, Patrick. And Tom, I think you'd agree. Magnitude's like the only band kind of doing that sound.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they do it very well. And it's really fascinating because are they the torchbearer straight edge band in 2023? I feel like yes.
Yeah, they might be.
I don't even know who the other options are. And I'm going to make this comparison because I'm a fan and can speak to it. And even though I don't know, Pat, I know you're not a fan, and Tom, I don't know your level of interest even. But to kind of explain what Mouthpiece was in the early 90s to people, especially in New Jersey, and especially to a lot of kids, there were a lot of bands doing things that felt more than hardcore at the moment, or changing the sound. And Mouthpiece was just trying to be a hardcore band and just trying to be a straight edge band. If you were looking for something more than that, you were going to find it in different spots, and that's cool. But as someone who just missed it, like, I wish I could tell you how much that band meant to a generation or two of kids, especially in the Northeast, but I know out in California too, of a band who's just like, no, we're just a hardcore band, we're just a straight edge band. And I don't say just as a bad thing. I mean it as saying, no, we're going to do this and do it full throttle and just be this. And I think that's what Magnitude is to a lot of kids. And so if you're an older person who doesn't look at Mouthpiece and go, fuck, that's not for me, yo, that band meant everything to a lot of people, even those who might go look back and go, yeah, you know what, musically, maybe some of their peers were doing more, whatever, whatever. I dare you to go watch some of those Mouthpiece videos and see an entire room of people going nuts, like singing along to the whole thing. And I think that's the energy that Magnitude carries right now.
You know, we could talk. I'd like to talk about that. Let me first. We were just talking about my father. He just called. Dad, you're on a podcast right now. Don't say anything that implicates you. I was asked how you're doing, and I said it's fortuitous that you should call. I said he's in good spirits, but his foot is fucked up. Dad, do you want to give us a foot update?
No, it's a lot better. It's you know, I've had 5 amputations, so I'm obviously trying to avoid another amputation. But it's getting better.
When you say avoid amputations, are you still eating strawberry rhubarb pie every night?
Every chance I get.
Okay. That was why I was thinking of them, because I'm going to send them one.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll send you one. Is everything okay? And can I hang up on you?
Hang up, pal. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Goodbye.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. A question? Yes.
Say 5 amputations?
Yes.
Toes? Like, what are we doing?
Nothing serious. Toes,
portions of his feet. You know what I mean? I think I told you, Tom, that you would have, as a lawyer and as a prisoner advocate, you would have enjoyed the story where he can't feel his feet, and he's supposed to soak his feet every night. And while he was incarcerated, they provided him boiling water, and it took all the skin off of his feet, and he did not feel it.
So, docs.
Yeah, he did. So for people that are in the sound of my voice that don't know the situation, my father was incarcerated for a while, and he saw a lot of things that motivated him to not be litigious against the Department of Corrections, because as it turns out, when you're still stuck in there, there is some effort at reprisal.
No, really? Weird.
Yeah. So he said, to hell with it. You know, whatever. I'm doing my time. I'm not going to... you know, I'm not inviting problems with these COs over a little thing like not having skin on my feet.
Tom, I know a small group of people with casual amputations, all from upstate New York. It's just built different.
That's Pat's good band.
I was talking to a bandmate. His grandfather, like, had like a real Ninja Turtle sort of hand situation, because he worked on the same press his entire life. I want you to think about working on the same press that took 3 of your fingers, and you go to work a week and a half later. Holy shit, it was a different time.
My life, my love, and my lady is that press.
Wow. I would be hitting hard.
Oh my God. I mean, listen. I need these fingers.
Go get a buttered roll at Stewart's and just keep it moving. It's all good.
Yeah, that's what people did. Okay, so
magnitude,
I just want to
magnitude.
Oh yeah. So Magnitude, as the kids say, the goats. let's keep goated. Talking about Let's keep talking about the festivals for a second. Shout out to them both. I'm glad that they both popped. Sound of Fury is going, as we have this conversation, Sound of Fury is still going. And it just looked hot. It looks like people are really making the best of these barricades. I'm not inciting a riot here. I'm just saying that I enjoy the videos of them being torn down. So this is not me prompting anybody. The festival will be over by the time you hear this. For whatever reason, I just enjoy it. And I wanted to move on to a crucial topic, if you don't mind.
Let's see if we'll describe it.
Tom, you think you and I are gonna have the same crucial topic?
Is it a youth group thing? Because if not, that's not crucial.
No. Respect it is, which is, have you seen the t-shirt discourse online?
No. I'm missing t-shirt discourse.
Yeah, so I forget who it was. This is no disrespect, honestly. I forget. I think it was maybe somebody in the bootleg game, or maybe whoever it was. They tweeted, "There's nothing wrong with Gildan. It's just that your favorite bands have chosen the worst sub labels of Gildan to feed you because they don't care about you." And then they advocated for the Gildan Hammer. Which they're not wrong. The Gildan Hammer is fine. You know what I mean? Real quick for our completely non-shirt heads, which I usually count myself among, but I'm on tour and I'm other bands are I'm getting shirts from other bands, so I have opinions. In 2023, it's hard to wear a stiff shirt with so many better options now. It used to be we had no options and we just all wore shirts that really hurt now.
Right.
But now there's a ton of options. So if you print on the Gildan standard, it can feel disrespectful. but the Gildan Hammer, which is, I guess, Bob, you're an actual expert on this. Is that like the ring spun one or something? It feels better.
It's their soft style. It's their answer to Tall-Tex and like, I could say American Apparel, but I just want to ask you guys, do you know what happened to American Apparel? Say that again, Tom.
LA Apparel or something? Didn't they like? Well, the boss was a weirdo.
Yeah, so the weirdo boss started LA Apparel. American Apparel still exists, owned by Gildan.
Yes.
Hammer is their soft style, their soft spun. I don't know if it's actually ring spun, but it's soft spun. There are Gildan, you know, alternatives if you're mad at Gildan. Like All Style was a big one for a while.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't like it that much.
Gildan owns All Style. Maybe you're more of like a Comfort Colors person, right? Yes. Gildan owns Comfort Colors. If you want actual alternatives to Gildan, you got to go to like your Hanes and like Fruit of the Loom, FOTL, which barely, their wholesale versions just don't exist anymore. And then you get down to weird bootleg shit like Delta and weird shit. The really cheap. I guess you can do Anvil. So yes, t-shirt discourse blanks.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
We can talk about that, but I just want to say it has turned into something more of a conversation on preference. It's so fascinating. It is wildly fascinating because you don't hear this conversation in other niche interests very often at all. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen. The fact that hardcore has somehow made this such a thing is fascinating. Because your fucking voice matters. I can't tell you this enough. 6 years ago, people weren't making shirts on Comfort Colors. Comfort Color shirts cost fucking more, man. They cost.
Yeah, everybody avoided them. It's true.
Right. But then people were making such a fuss and then actually voting with their dollar and saying, no, I'll pay the extra $5. That bands started making their shirts on Comfort Colors and started charging $10 more. That's what it is. You don't see, like, I really want to make this clear. When you see a band printing their shirts on Gildan shirts, it's not because they're being cheap. That's just the easy one. They might not know better. And they might have a preference for it. They might think that's fine. It's cool, you know? You don't see many bands printing on the true, like, these are cheap blanks. Gildan are just, like, the bar medium, like, yeah, that's fine. Like a standard, somebody who comes in, if someone is coming in to make bowling shirts, bowling t-shirts, youth basketball t-shirts, I say, yeah, you should probably just use a Gildan, you know? And if they say, well, I would like something softer or a little nicer, I'd have some suggestions. Someone came in from a yoga studio, I'm pointing them at Tall Tex. I'm pointing up maybe Hammer, but I'd probably go for something more cut. And then the Comfort Colors thing, I love Comfort Color shirts. I think they're great. But it's really the marketplace that hardcore has turned into about blanks. And it's spilled. This I love is that it is spilled into the bootleg market, not just in hardcore, but like video game bootleg shirts, sport bootleg shirts, all the shit. Because I think a lot of those folks are either into or were into hardcore. So shout out to Vengeance Designs. Shout out to Weapon Prime. Shout out to AM Vintage. I'm trying to think of some of my other favorites, but those, I know at least a couple of those dudes are hardcore dudes or hardcore Jace. Shout out.
So I want to do a little follow up here if I can. Cruelty. We're familiar with this band, the Japanese band, Hard and Heavy.
Yep.
They tweet in response to the discourse, I have to assume, I love using crappy blank shirts for merch because we're a band, not a clothing brand. which I think is a very funny take. Now, it honestly, it does bring up the question, are we creating like supportive tchotchkes, or are we creating something that people want to wear? You know what I mean?
That's the question.
It's kind of band to band. I personally am at the juncture, you know, I ordered a 7 Seconds shirt online. I had to have it tailored because it fits so poorly.
Yeah, that's and, you.
And now I am also putting it in the washer with every wash that I do to make it as soft as I would like it. So this is where I'm at, is that I really like soft things on my nipples, and I do not like stiff things on my nipples.
Do you have the plastic? They're like they're like eco-friendly dryer balls.
No.
If not, you should get them. They're good. They help dry your laundry, kind of an alternative to dryer sheets too, I think, something like that. I don't know. But they also are really good. Really good for softening shirts. And if you want to soften that shirt a lot, flip it inside out and just leave it in the dryer and dry it with every load.
Oh, wait. You think I'm in a country with dryers? That's an American thing only, brother.
Shit, man. Shit. All right. All right. You know what? Just sun bleach it then. flip it inside out and sun bleach it, because the sun, not just will it, obviously it'll hurt the pigment, it will soften the shirt just by sitting out drying in a like a strong sun. It'll soften it. I'm not gonna tell you to bury it, but if you want to bury it, that would do it too.
Oh,
2 weeks under dirt, you'll feel the softness.
Would consider.
Give it a whirl and report back. You asked a great question. I want to ask Tom and then you this retort, which will lead to the answer. Tom, in either Indecision or MPB, have you ever done a design, had it at shows, maybe had it on a whole tour, and then subsequently never saw anyone wearing the design?
Yes.
Okay.
It's weird.
It happens. Patrick?
Yeah.
I don't even know what our designs look like.
I know. I was going to try to send you back to a time with self-defense, but like you'd make like 30 shirts on piss-colored t-shirts and it doesn't matter.
I tried to make natural a thing.
It was good. You just cut it off too early.
Yeah.
Because you probably made like 6 of them, maybe not even, but if you'd stuck with it a little more, it could have been iconic. Anyways. So here's, I will tell the story of Righteous Jams. And we did a whole tour with Mental and R&R, and we, because I was roadieing for them, and made these shirts. So I can't tell you how many shirts we made. Like, we made oodles of these shirts, full US, not a crazy long tour, but we sold a fucking lot of shirts. Mental also, tons of shirts, helped get all those printed, whatever. Had to reprint shirts when we got to California. Made them, sold them, whatever. I never saw people wearing those shirts, ever.
They put them on ice for later resale. Come on.
You might think that, you know what? The only dude I saw wearing one of those is the dude on the Brazzers video. So that Mental rant shirt. But so I saw a few of those, but not a lot of the others. And so here's the thing, is that if you're a band people like, they're going to buy your shirt. If the design is good, they're going to wear the shirt.
Mm.
If the brand is bad, good, it depends on body type. A shirt can shrink weird, so somebody's not going to wear it. But I'll tell you what, if the design is good, they're going to wear that shirt. Are we making tchotchkes or things people like to wear? I give credit to, like I was saying, hardcore is one of the only places where you hear this conversation. Shout out to people caring enough that the brand of shirt is what they want, so they actually wear the fucking shirt. Hand to God, I went to a show not more than 2 months ago. They had the band had a really cool tour shirt. I was talking to the dude. I was looking for an XL. It's like, I don't think we have any XLs. I have large. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'm never going to wear it anyways. Just wanted to buy a shirt and support him. I thought it looked cool. You know what I mean? So cool. I give credit to the hardcore audience for caring about the brand shirt. It is both. If you want people to actually wear it, it's mostly the design. That's what it comes down to. So make cool looking shirts. People will wear them. And yo, like, by the way, Drug Church merch is funny to me. You guys make some really lame stuff and really cool stuff. Partially, part of it is not even, it's design and then color. Like, you guys have these red sweatshirts that I think essentially it's just your logo on it, right? And it's like a red hoodie. It's a cool looking piece of merch, partially because it just interplays with the Cheer album art. And it's not like it's like the album cover. It just is like, oh, there's red on the cover and it's a white logo on a red sweatshirt. That's fucking awesome. It's hot, you know?
I don't know. I don't.
You're not taking any credit or yeah, I know. I got you.
I will say listen, that's not, it's not like a complete indifference on my part. It's just when somebody in a band, that's a thing that they actually enjoy, give them that job. Do you know what I mean? Like with these bands that fight over merch designs, unless somebody's producing the lamest shit you've ever fucking seen in your life, if there is somebody in your band that just, they like merch, they like to design merch, you know, that's their job. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need every finger in, or it doesn't need, how many cooks does it need? You know what I mean?
From your list.
Yeah. Well, Tom, you can speak to this, man.
Speak to this, please.
When you've got a group chat and everybody's got an opinion on the same fucking thing.
And none of them line up.
Say it again, Tom.
And none of them actually line up.
Yeah, none of them line up, and everybody is suddenly strident in their opinions on things that normally they don't give that much of a shit about. Right. Everybody.
They all go, well, I wouldn't wear that. I'm like, well, that's cool because you're 47 and I don't want you wearing it.
Fact.
So, yeah, that's like everybody relinquish control, unclench on aspects of your band that you're not the expert in. I don't care about merch, so I don't care about merch. You know what I mean? It's fine.
I mean, you don't even walk at the table, right? Like, you don't even know what you have from tour to tour.
Not a clue. No, not a clue.
You take your 20%, though, don't you?
I do, yeah. And look, this is the case across a lot of things. Now, merch for me, fashion, if quote unquote, right? Fashion for me, I think about it all the time. It doesn't appeal to me. Like, as far as like types of art, I try to recognize that fashion is an art, and I try to be respectful of it because I understand that there's a great many people in this life who don't think that what I do is art, and I would like a baseline respect. You don't have to love anything I do, but just give me the baseline. But fashion doesn't appeal to me. I have no swag whatsoever, and I just don't give a shit. So in my opinion,
I think you're underplaying. I think when you guys played Vitus after the Drain show, Patty had some swag.
Oh,
I think you wore a five.
Whoa! Wait. What did you say? Did you say he wore a visor and a hat?
That would be a lot of swag. I wore that runner's hat, which my girlfriend Fiona has since forbid me from wearing. She says my head is too small for hats, and I do not look good. Tom, it's funny you should say that. I watched the video of that performance. It was in, but somebody posted my feed, and I clicked on 20 seconds of it. I was like, "Ooh, I don't know about this hat." So
that made you 20 years younger.
Yeah, but in a good way or bad way.
I mean, it could be like, oh, that guy's 20 years younger, but he looks sad because he has to wear a hat.
Or like, hello, fellow kids.
Well, your hair's looking good. You got it tightened up here. What do you got? You
Patty Caesar over here.
Yeah, Wynn got a clip up. What's going on?
I don't, fellas. I'm taking drastic action when I get back from this Japan shit.
Let's go to Turkey. Let's go to fucking Turkey. I'm ready.
Listen,
I'm ready for the airline. I'm ready for the airline where all of us got some weird like shit on our heads coming home. Like, it's no big deal. Yeah,
compression socks on our heads. Just want to say, shout out to shirts. people that wear them. I don't like shirts, blah, blah, blah. And maybe because this appeals to me, it wouldn't appeal to everybody. I got, something, shirts were run by me for the self-defense live record, right? So Landland is putting out some shirts, and they're Mike Sutphin Designs, who did the cover, and people really like the cover. I think they're going to really like the shirts, blah, blah, blah. But there's one that I don't think has been unveiled yet. I think Mike and I have to talk about it because I think I'm probably going to have to pay Mike on the side because it's that good a design. Like, I think he doesn't want to give it to me because he knows it's hot. It is. This would be our Marauder face shirt.
Whoa.
And
Hit the group chat with it.
I loved it. Hold on. Let me see if I can't find it.
Can I say something about this self-defense live record?
Please.
So the cover art is clearly highly competent. It's really, yes. It's really well done.
Yes.
It's unnerving because the figure looks like you.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I know. It's thrown me off, man. I haven't been able to publicly support it or like promote it because I've been so weirded out by the cover.
It's like, Tom, it does look like Patrick, doesn't it?
No, it definitely does.
It's what? A little weird to me.
Looks like a greaser.
Look at it. I want you to hold it up and look at your face and try to make the face that the dude's making. It's you. I know, man. I'm sorry. I just GoldenEye for N64'd you with the strained mouth. You won't unsee it once you see it.
I think that guy's got like black hair.
This is a fantastic shirt.
How good is that shirt? I think I'm gonna have to pay Mike on the side for this one. Yeah. I don't think this one's going in the drop.
Yeah, but you should do this because you know why? You could do cool ass like old style 80s style stickers of this too. Like the rectangular sticker. You can also do different colors with it. It's awesome. Sing all monotone, but this is a cool design.
Yeah, we're gonna have a ton because
everywhere like would buy this. A lot of Japanese vibes this.
There are a lot of Japanese vibes.
The second best shirts you guys have made. The other top two are a Garfield shirt and then a shirt with like a Led Zeppelin logo on it. So I don't know. This is number one already.
Right there. You don't like cops while you act like one. That's a big hit.
Oh, that's number two, actually. That's really good. That's good.
Hold on. If I could just say a couple more things. I know that we're tight for time. I just want to say, I'm watching the Sound and Fury videos. I'm catching up at 6 a.m, everybody. Volcano, huge response. Fucking Pain of Truth. I'm watching insanity.
It's insane. Yeah.
We knew Pain of Truth was going to pop, but shout out to them for they're not regional. Do you know what I mean? Say it again, Tom.
Definitely not. They're the home. They hit a grand slam on every festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to them. It looks like everybody got a really good response, but there's just a couple things that are popping. Bob, listen. These are our friends that run these festivals, but these are your tight friends. Mm-hmm. Are we allowed to talk about how it appears that security was terrible?
It's like you're familiar with the ESPN 30 for 30 series, Patrick. Tom, I know you are.
I'm familiar.
Okay, so they have those documentaries, and it's like, what if I told you, and how they start like the promo for it, right? It's like,
yeah.
What if I told you that plans were made and changed? And what if I told you those changes were late in the game? That's likely how the story would go, but there's a lot of respect and love and appreciation to those folks who have been doing their best to make sure that the show goes on despite some difficulties. So shout out.
I'm not trying to make this dude out to be like a menace. I'm just saying that he's a guy. I wonder how the venue manager telling Martine, hey, I think we're going to put a barrier on the stage. I wonder how that conversation went. I can't imagine great.
But it's not tethered to anything, so it's going to fall over as soon as anybody puts any weight on it whatsoever.
Yeah, so stupid. So, everybody, hardcore kids that do festivals typically have they understand their audience. They understand who they're doing festivals for. Venues and security, get a grip. You don't know as well as the people that are risking their financial future to put the fest on. You just don't know as well. Stop. So shout out to Sound of Fury and the kids there for making it work, because it looks like it's now dialed in and it looks like there's a solution hand. But
Tom, what's on the menu? Where are you going for dinner tonight, my friend?
Some like vegan sushi place in like, maybe, is it Fountain Valley? Is that possible?
Fountain Valley. Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Shout out. A place is nice when all the cities are like Garden Grove, Fountain Valley, Tustin.
Thousand Oaks.
Like, Thousand Oaks is
far. No, I know.
That is a nice one. It's a nice sounding place.
It sounds very nice.
What about Covenant Hills? That's where the Real Housewives of Orange County live.
Oh, that's like Lake Forest, actually. I think it's like a gated community out there.
Yes.
Near Mission Viejo, which I dated a woman from there, and I really liked Mivi, and she got very mad that I called it that. Some funny canyon roads out there. Shout out Mission Viejo. Yo, Tom. La Jolla. Ooh, my favorite part of San Diego. Enjoy Orange County for all of us.
Thank you. I love California.
Good night.